I'm Sadia Tariq, and you're listening to Dhani, the podcast. Welcoming you into 2022 with this podcast by Faranaz Zahidi Mazam. She's already been on Dhani, and this talk is an excerpt from one of the yoga workshops that I did on emotional intelligence, EQ. Our speaker talks about emotional intelligence from a religious point of view, about awareness, about the importance of intention and action, and of course the utmost tool for managing emotions, as she calls the pause button. Highly encourage you to listen to this podcast, and once again, welcome to 2022.
Assalamu alaikum, and peace and blessings for all of you. It's wonderful being here, and thank you, Sadia, for the opportunity. It's a very interesting group and a different opportunity for me. So I hope I would be able to share something. But just when I was observing, while I was looking at what you all were doing, and that is always the sense what one gets with yoga. It's a sense of kind of slowing down, and your inner pace is slowing down. And it's interesting that Sadia wanted me to touch upon emotional intelligence from a faith perspective, because that's so needed. And there never has been, in human history, a time when where access to information has been this easy, where we have been so informed, where we have been so evolved in terms of certain types of intelligence. However, there also might not have been a time in human history where we have been so out of touch with ourselves that we have to pause and think and learn how to breathe. And these were things that just came naturally, and that is the situation with all of us. So this week you have been discussing with a number of speakers the concept of emotional intelligence, and I'm sure a lot of you know much more than I already do. But a lot of the definitions that come via EQ or emotional intelligence, the first one is self-awareness, and the second step to that is self-management. And I think that's where we have a problem from the faith perspective, or any perspective, actually. So let me just explain very briefly. The self, in the light of the Quran, for example, there are three states of the self that have been told to us. And the first one is Amara, which is the self that rules over our desires. That's when we are led by our desires. So we can see that, you know, it's a very, it's a kind of a hedonistic lifestyle that we see a lot around us. And nafse amara is when your nafs is basically telling you what to do, where to go. And we are being led by it. So we jump from one desire to another. We jump from one craving to another. And there are empty holes inside. The second state of the nafs that the Quran talks about is the nafse lawwama. And that is when there is some remnants of life, the nafs or the soul is a bit awake. And so it starts to recognize and realize where it's going wrong. So from being in a trance-like state of just being led by desires, it now knows where it's making a mistake. And it's kind of like a waking up. And this is the state of being in a nafse lavama, where there is some element of self-accountability starts coming in. The highest state of the soul or the self would be nafse mutmainna, where one reaches a state of peace or contentment with oneself. You let go of a lot of things, and in that process, you embrace a lot of things to bring them together. That's how the Quran describes it. But for that, one has to know oneself. And the problem that we exceedingly see is life is so fast that a lot of times we are not in touch with ourselves. So I don't even think in 20 minutes I can go towards the third and fourth part, which is social awareness and service and relationships with others and communication. But you might be observing, so if you Google emotional intelligence, as I did today to try and see what I would be talking about, I observed that a lot of the conversations about emotional intelligence were about how one would be more emotionally intelligent at work, or how one could have better relationships with people socially. And so again, we are seeing a kind of an agenda. But where is yourself in all of that? There's a beautiful verse in the Quran, and forgive me if I'm going to be focused just on that, because that's where I'm coming from and I can only share what I know. So in Surah Al-Qiyamah in the Quran, it says, "Balil insan wala nafsihi basira," which means every human knows his own self, basira, very well. One can look inside and one knows what's happening inside. Walau alqa ma'azira, it might give a lot of justifications for one's own soul. So sometimes we do give justifications for what we do. And yet a part of us inside knows. So when we pray, for example, or when we talk to ourselves, do we know what we are or who we are? It always fascinates me that one of the people who come up in Islamic history as being so strong and so motivating, Hazrat Umar, one of his du'as or his prayers when he was talking to Allah, he would say, "Oh Allah, I am indeed harsh, so make me gentle. I am weak, so make me strong. I am miserly, so make me generous." And this always fascinates me, that knowing one's self so well, how is it that we are so out of touch with ourselves? And this state of knowing oneself overlaps with self-management. So growing, you know, we are not static, and humans are not designed to be static. So you will be moving from point A to point B, which means me, you, everybody. There will be some kind of growth. It can be recessive or it can be progressive. But when we discuss the directions in which we are growing, my concern would be, are we growing horizontally or vertically? Are we growing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or our connection with the divine, and in so doing, improving ourselves and knowing ourselves better? And even if not from purely a religious perspective, but even our self-growth, upwards rather than in the width of it. So filling those gaps with a lot of things and stuff is basically more horizontal. And that's what keeps happening. And climbing up any rungs in life, I'm sure a lot of the exercises you do are related to that. They require you to pant and struggle and work hard. And so growing vertically is growing in elongation towards that side. Coming back to self-management, it also is a lot about, when we talk about emotional intelligence, it would be wiser or more intelligent to protect one's own self. So to protect yourself from what? There is, as I said earlier, so much information. Maybe we should check ourselves what we allow to go inside ourselves, inside this conduit that we are, because from us, it's going to pass on to others. So what is the company we are keeping? What are the kind of people we are moving around with? The concept of the evil eye, for example, if you talk about self-management and self-protection, how much of our happiness and life are we just putting out there for, maybe voyeurism would be taking it too far, but just for people to observe and see, and that kind of becomes a whirlpool which we start going down in, where you want constant validation. And that really hampers the process of trying to grow vertically. Concept of knowing and having the intelligence to know with whom you should be less guarded, where to expose oneself. So these are actually very intelligent decisions. The concept of not just giving in to cravings, from one craving to another, you know, everything's fast. The food is fast, relationships are fast. You can't read beyond 5 minutes. You can't listen beyond 15 minutes. It's a time of instant gratification. And so we are cleverer as a species, but we are certainly not more intelligent. Most importantly, the concept of short-term versus long-term. So are we just going towards short-term, or are we looking at what something will benefit me or the people I love in the long-term also? Self-management, and this is so related to the relationships we have otherwise, jisse bhi humare jo bhi rishte hote hain, controlling our emotions are so important. So this whole idea of getting easily triggered. Why do we get so easily triggered? There's this beautiful section in the Quran, in which, in Surah Al-Furqan, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about people who are his special ones. And he says, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ حَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاتَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. The people of and the servants of the Most Merciful are those who, well, it literally means they tread on earth lightly. And when others who are ignorant address them harshly, they just say salama, you know, peace be upon you. The whole concept of having your pause button in your own hand and not getting triggered. At another point in the same section of the Quran, it says that وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا, when they pass near ill speech. So imagine somebody irritating you, annoying you, saying things that they are throwing as bait. And it says, مَرُّوا كِرَامًا, they pass with dignity. Where does one go from the default setting of feeling victimized, easily agitated, irritated, to the higher setting, as told to us in the user manuals that we were sent down with, by controlling our own nafs? You know how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, amsik lisanak, hold on to your tongue, or the Quran says, hu anfusakum, protect yourself, guard yourself. And what is the disadvantage when we get triggered? So for starters, of course, we end up saying things that we shouldn't. Communication gets hampered, relationships are scarred, and our inner states are changing so constantly. It takes time for this pause button to develop. But it's simply the fact that if we join these dots to yoga, it's not just others we are harming. The Prophet once said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that wrong actions irritate the heart. So it's your own soul being irritated as well. So I do not know what the exact definition or the whole idea of emotional intelligence involves, but it would be quite prudent and intelligent and wise to be able to know where to say what, where to really invest our emotions and where not. And then very slowly coming towards the idea of balance, and realizing that intellect is not just cognitive processes, but like aql in Arabic means to restrain. So you restrain yourself to a point that there is a sense of balance. So there is self-love that is extremely important, but then there is narcissism, which is a problem. There is self-care that is extremely important, but a disengagement with your family is a problem. You can be altruistic all you want and do service within your communities, but what about having enough at the end of the day for yourself? You can counsel your friends all you like, but what about your own boundaries? And at the end of the day, you know, as Muslims, the book of hadith that we really look upon is Sahih al-Bukhari, and it starts with a very short quotation or hadith by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which says, every deed is upon its intention. So being in touch with oneself is important. We are so fast and in such a hurry, and so much is going in, but we are not engaging enough with ourselves that we don't even know ourselves. So slowing down, and not just being slaves to desires, I guess. As Imam Al-Ghazali said, desires make slaves out of kings, and patience makes kings out of slaves. What are we slaves to? To whom? The best of all deeds is the sense of balance or the central path. And the Quran says, Allah tatghaw fil mizan, do not disrupt the balance. So somewhere we are lopsided in our tendencies, and that in turn impacts our social interactions. When our intention is not clean and is not sincere, then that in turn affects how our relationships work. So those are just a few thoughts at the top of my head. There's this, and you know, there really is some kind of an emptiness that we are trying to fill. So I just want to end with this thought, and these are just thoughts that we are floating to each other. So Imam Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah, he said, truly in the heart, there is a void that cannot be removed except with the company of Allah. And in it, there is a sadness that cannot be removed except with the happiness of knowing Allah and being true to Him. And in the heart, there is an emptiness that cannot be filled except with love for Him and by turning to Him and always remembering Him. And if a person were given all of the world and what is in it, it would not fill this emptiness. So the emptiness that we are trying to fill with a number of other things, that's where we actually become very unintelligent. And we are not honest to ourselves, and so in turn, not honest to the relationships around us. So if there are any thoughts, I would love to take them. Thank you, Sadia.